just lift our hands unto the Lord tonight. Father, we praise you for who you are. For without you, we are nothing. We bless you and praise you tonight, and we give you honor and glory in this sanctuary. Thank you, Lord, as Lindsay laid her hands on me and prayed even before the service. Lord, I might decrease that you might increase. I want what you want tonight, Lord. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, so that what I say and do tonight brings honor and glory unto Jesus' name. I praise you, Father. I thank you. Satan, you have no part in me, and you have no part in this service or anyone in this service. We bind you by the authority of Jesus' name and cast you out and every demon force that would try to hinder. And we thank you, Father, and praise you. Let there be the hearing of faith tonight in Jesus' name. And we bless you and praise you for it. Amen. Amen. Give praise unto the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Pastors Jay and Debbie, thank you for this invitation and opportunity to come. This is my second time to be here. I was here in May, and I was alone, but this time I have Lindsay with me. And I thank God, if you've been in any of the services where she has ministered, and you were blessed half as much as me, you're doing pretty good. Because she just has been absolutely wonderful. I praise God for her. She'll be ministering again in the morning. And then tomorrow night, Katie, bar the door. Now, somebody asked me what Katie, bar the door means. Ask me. I don't know what it means. It means a rocket going off tomorrow night. So we'll see the person that has the pain right now on the left side of your chest, right here, where are you? Where is the person you've got pain right now on the left side of your chest? Where are you? Where is that person? Where are you? You've got pain right here on the left side. When you move your arm, it hurts right here. Where is that person? Pardon? I could be online. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you online? Do you have pain? Are you a pain? Do you have pain? If that's you, in the name of Jesus, there's healing flowing right now. I thought it was somebody here. It could very well be. Thank you for reminding me about it. By the way, hello to those of you who are online watching us live from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where it is cold. At least it is to me. Where I live, it was 74 degrees today. Aren't you jealous? It was so nice. Cold here. Lindsay brought her coat into the service tonight. So, you have anything you want to say? No, nothing you want to say? You sure?
I'm resting.
Pastors, we thank you for this opportunity to come, and also we accept your offer. This is our church away from home in Iowa. So we received that. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm an out of town member at World Harvest in Marietta. I'm an out-of-town member, and so is Lindsay. And we could be an out-of-town member. Okay. We could be an out-of-town member. I'm just saying, you know. Somebody asked me the other day, what are some of the greatest miracles that you've witnessed in your ministry? And it reminded me of the trip that Lindsay and I took to Jos, Nigeria. It's way up north in the country. And that night at the crusade, God gave me a word of knowledge about someone who was crippled. And a young man came up out of the crowd on the platform, walking, running, and jumping. I didn't know who he was. About 20 years of age, his name was Abdul. Abdul was the town beggar. His parents carried him to the post office each day where he begged for money. He was crippled. He had never walked a step in his life. Everyone in town knew him. And when he came up on the platform after I prayed, the whole crowd began to rejoice and jump and praise God and thank him. And I didn't know what was going on. So I asked the interpreter, and he told me the story I just told you. And I began to jump and praise God and run around. And the media was there that night, and they interviewed him and, I assume, his family. And the next morning on the front page of the Jos newspaper was the headline, "Beggar of Jos Healed." And the next night, 100,000 people came to the crusade for the prayer of faith. And thousands, 25,000, gave their hearts to the Lord the next night. It's one of the greatest miracles I've ever witnessed. And I remember when I was in Accra, Ghana. Accra is the capital. There were about 40,000 people there on that night. And the pastors who were on the platform brought a woman for prayer. She had been born with one breast. And when I prayed for her, instantly on the spot, God created a second breast. And the women who were with her confirmed the healing. I've seen great miracles in my life. I remember I was in a service and they brought a woman who was dying of AIDS, and I was in the middle of having lunch. And I stopped and laid hands on her, and God healed her. And when I came back for a crusade several months later, she stood before 200,000 people to testify that when she received the prayer of faith, she was healed, and the doctors have confirmed not a trace of AIDS in her body. I've seen miracles like that all over the world. Miracles that stick. But sometimes miracles don't stick. I remember my father telling me a story of a young teenager who was brought to one of his crusades. She was born deaf. And when he touched her, he had a way, and Lindsay, you remember this, he had a way when he prayed for someone who was deaf, he put his fingers inside the ear and he would pray. And he had a particular anointing to pray for deafness. And almost every time he prayed for someone with deafness, there was a healing. And this girl had been born deaf. And when he put his fingers in her ear and prayed in front of about 10,000 people, she was instantly healed and she could hear out of both ears. And there was great, great rejoicing. The young girl was not a Christian. Her family had brought her. And my father admonished her and tried to teach her, but it didn't stick with her. And she did not follow through on having a relationship with the Lord. She took it for granted. And we heard the word 7 months later, she was deaf again. I want to talk tonight about miracles that stick and miracles that don't stick. What are the steps to get a miracle in your life? And what are the steps to keep a miracle in your life? Because there are certain things I believe that you must do in order to receive a miracle from the Lord and to continue to keep the miracle from the Lord. The first step is to believe the promise. He said in his word, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's a promise. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicines. Thank God for diets and climate and exercise. Thank God for diagnostic equipment. Thank God for hospitals and clinics. Thank God for your wife or your husband rubbing your shoulders. Thank God for a good night's sleep. Thank God for all these, or exercise, everything. But the source of healing is God. You thank the doctor who treats you. You thank the person who prays. But you give the glory of the healing to God. He is the source. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is your source. Step one is believe the promise, understanding that Jesus took the stripes on his back for your healing. In other words, the 39 stripes represent every category of sickness and disease that has ever been known to mankind. He took the stripes on his back. And Peter tells us, by his stripes we are healed. And you have a covenant right. Amen. Amen. He went to the cross. We sang it a moment ago, not just for salvation, but for all of our needs to be met, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, in our families, in our businesses, in our jobs, our ministries, in every area of our lives, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. We have a promise, so believe it. You've got to believe. My father taught me that when you pray, you must believe. Number two, rebuke the devil's power and pray earnestly for a miracle. You have the authority to command the devil to take his hands off of you, God's property. You have that by virtue of the fact that on one night, Jesus, as he gathered his disciples together, he said to them, "Before now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, so that your joy may be full." Yeah. Now, up to that point in their lives, the 3.5 years that they were with him, they had heard him ask. He had cried out, "Abba, Father." They had seen him heal the sick, cleanse the leper, stop the funeral procession on the way to the graveyard. They had seen these great and mighty miracles, but they had never asked for themselves. Now he is transferring or giving the power of attorney for them to use his name. He knew how to rebuke the devil, but he wanted us to know how to rebuke the devil. How do you rebuke the devil? "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." This isn't rocket science. There's not some formula you have to figure out. "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you, take your hands off of me. I am God's property. You can't have me. You have no inherent right to me or anyone with me." It's not some formula I have to get. I have that authority because he gave me the authority to use his name. And the Bible tells us in Philippians that his name is above every name named in heaven and earth. You name any name, and Jesus' name is higher. So he transferred the power. And I'm going to tell this because Lindsay's here tonight. She told some of the story in earlier services. She was raised in Michigan until after her father passed away, and then she moved to Florida, and we got married. And she was a strong, spirit-filled Christian. And she was Lindsay Salem. And when she married me, I gave her my name. She was no longer known as Lindsay Salem. She was known as Lindsay Roberts, Mrs. Richard Roberts. I gave her my name. That's what men do when they get married. They give their wife their name. I gave her my name, and real quickly, she understood how to use my name. She could use it on checks. She could use it on credit cards. And wherever I was in the world, no matter where I was, she had the right to use my name, and it was as if I was standing next to her. That's what Jesus has done. He's given us his name. Thank God for the name of Jesus. When you use that name, sickness and disease begin to pack their bags and leave town. That's the name that I used on Sunday night when there were so many miracles here. And last night we had about 60 or so, Pastor said about 60, that were here lined up last night giving testimony of what God had done. That happened not because of me, but it happened because of the name of Jesus. And because I rebuked sickness, I didn't talk about it, I talked to it. And I commanded it to come out. So you rebuke the devil's power, believing for a miracle. You have the authority in Jesus' name to speak to Satan and command him to take his hands off of God's property, you. Now the third way to receive your miracle is to start expecting the miracle. Once you've prayed and believed and commanded the devil to take his hands off you, now you start expecting the miracle to come. You call it in by faith. You visualize it in your spirit. You see it in your spirit. And you call it in. And many people lose it at that point because they don't see it in the natural. So you call that which is not as though it is. I shared the story last night about how when Lindsay and I felt the leading of the Lord to begin a healing ministry, we confessed a healing ministry into our lives. We did not have it in the natural, but we had it by faith. And we said we have a healing ministry. We receive it by faith. Nobody was getting healed, but we had a healing ministry. And we held on to that, and we said it over and over and over and over, and we just kept on saying it. And then one day it began to happen. And it's happened in every service wherever I've been since. Start expecting it. And it was my father who coined the phrase, expect a miracle. Everybody say, expect a miracle.
Expect a miracle.
Would you like to know how that phrase came into being? In the early 1950s, when I was a boy, we went to Miami for a crusade. And there was a group of atheists. Well, I might have had it right the first time. There was an atheist group who went to a judge and forced my father to stand before a district judge and swear under oath that he did not have some type of electric device up his sleeve when he prayed for the sick. And so my father had to sign an affidavit and swear under oath in Miami that he wasn't having some kind of trick up his sleeve when he prayed for the sick. And the atheists vowed to come and to burn the tent down and to perform what they called in those days a citizen's arrest. And the charge would be practicing medicine without a license. And they said the night they were coming, and that was that day. And my father was very concerned. He knew the charges couldn't stick. However, if they were to put him in jail even for 10 minutes, the United Press International, the news media of the day, would pick it up and the news would go all over the world. And he was very concerned about it. There was another well-known minister who had that happen and was in jail for an hour or two, and he didn't want that to happen. His custom was in crusades always to rent two rooms in the hotel with an adjoining door. And when 3 o'clock came in the afternoon of a service, he would put us children and my mother in the next room, and he would go into the other room and close it and take a brief nap and then get up and study and prepare for the service. And he fell asleep on the bed, and he was awakened by a hand upon his shoulder. And he thought it was my mother. But there was no one else in the room. And he sat up on the edge of the bed, realizing that it was the hand of God touching him on the shoulder. And the voice of the Lord said to him, Oral Roberts, expect a miracle. And he began saying that all across America and around the world. The aliens, atheists, never showed up. And it was a great crusade with many miracles. But that phrase stuck. Expect a miracle. Start expecting the miracle to come. Call it in by faith. Visualize it in your spirit. See it. Look at it. Don't doubt. But believe that what you say is coming to pass. Now, it may come immediately. It may not come immediately. We're not in charge of the schedule of when it happens. Sometimes miracles happen instantaneously. Sometimes they come over a period of time. And number four, to receive your healing, every day, I beg your pardon, begin to confess, I am the Lord. Begin to confess, I am the healed of the Lord every day. Say it out loud. I am the healed of the Lord. Stop talking about the sickness, in other words. Start talking about the healing. Whenever something comes against Lindsay, she begins to say, I am the healed of the Lord. She goes around the house saying, I am the healed of the Lord. I call myself the healed of the Lord. I'm not the sick of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I call myself the healed of the Lord. So, in other words, when we receive the prayer of faith, we begin to call ourselves the healed of the Lord. We say it out loud. We say it, and we just keep on saying it. And remember that God's will is for each one of us to be well in every area of our lives. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So therefore, he wants you healed and whole with all of your needs met. He set that plan into existence. Now we need to go into agreement with that plan and not talk about the problem, but begin to talk about the answer. Now those are steps that I've used in my life and am using in my life to believe God for healing. Now let me give you four steps to keep your healing. Number one, close the case for victory. Close the case for victory. Now what do I mean by that? Make sure what you say is in harmony and in line with God's word. Don't go back and revisit what Satan tried to put on you. Close the case for victory. Now, most of you know my own father's testimony of how at the age of 17, he was healed of tuberculosis and was immediately called to preach. But he had a problem after he was healed. He was healed of the tuberculosis, but he had not gotten his strength back yet. He had gone from 185 pounds down to 135 pounds, 6 feet, 2 inches tall, skin and bones. He had been in bed for 5 months and had coughed and hemorrhaged all that time, spitting blood across the room. He was healed of the tuberculosis, but he had not yet fully recovered. And that's where many people have a problem. They receive a healing, but they don't understand why all that they have gone through has not yet been fulfilled. And his mother, my grandmother, would say to him, "Oral, it's all right to lay down on the bed in the afternoon and take a nap." But she said, "Don't get under the covers."
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting under the covers is like accepting the tuberculosis again. She would say, "Don't get undressed and put on your pajamas. Stay in your clothing and lay across the covers." And she would say to him, "Son, you're healed. It's going to take a little while for you to get your strength back." And it took him a good year to get his strength back. Oh, he was healed of tuberculosis, all right. But it took him a while to get his strength back. But while you're getting your strength back after the miracle, it's easy to fall back and think the disease has come back on you. So don't do that. Don't do that. Close the case for victory. Number two, begin rehearsing your testimony to others. Tell people what God has done for you. The reason why I had those people come last night and share their testimony was not just for you, but it was for them. I wanted them to get into the habit of telling someone what God had done. That was a confirmation to them. It was not only a confirmation to them, but it was a confirmation to you. Because many of you said, "Well, if they can receive a healing, I can receive a healing." So testimony is not only good for them, but it's good for you. Tell someone. And Jesus was a master psychologist. He had a way of saying, when he healed someone, "Don't tell anybody about it." Well, you know what happens when somebody tells you not to tell anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, some people's idea of keeping a secret is telling only one person at a time. He would say, "Tell no man." Well, the first thing you want to do. I used to sing a song about that man. He said that to in the Bible. And the chorus went, "I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody." He's a master psychologist. Give your testimony.
Amen.
You say, "Well, the healing's not fully manifested." Give it anyway.
Amen.
Give it.
Yeah.
Let people hear it, because when they hear it, you're hearing it.
Amen.
And just saying it reminds you. It brads the nail on the other side.
Yeah.
Share your testimony.
Yeah.
Number three, don't hang out with a bunch of people who doubt and discourage you in what you believe. You may have to change some of your associations. Because there's someone who's going to tell you you're not really healed. Someone's going to tell you that was just psychosomatic. Someone will tell you that that's not of God. That God stopped doing that. He doesn't heal anymore. try to tell those 60 people who testified last night that God doesn't do miracles anymore. They testified of miracles and made demonstrations of the power of God. Don't allow yourself to, I realize you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to take cold showers with them. I mean, you don't have to spend time, that much time. I realize that there are people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, but you don't have to spend all of your time with them. And also, you have the ability to turn off in your own ears what they're saying. They may say it, but you don't have to pay a lot of attention to it. And number four. Every day, command the symptoms to stay away in Jesus' name. Now, this is something that Lindsay has been doing now. She gave the testimony of being healed from thyroid cancer. Every day, Lindsay commands the symptoms to stay away from her in the name of Jesus. Every day, she's praying, I'll not have cancer again. It shall not strike me again in the name of Jesus. She says it all the time. Over and over and over and over, she says it. I'll not have cancer again. You can say it over and over. I'll not have arthritis. I'll not have high blood pressure. I will not have blood sugar problems. I will not have palpitations in my heart. I will not have swelling in my knees. I will not have a breathing problem. I'll not have symptoms of COPD. I will not have symptoms of tumors and masses and growths or migraine headaches. I will not have breathing problems. I will not have problems with my eyes, with my ears. I declare in the name of Jesus, I shall not have this. And when you start doing all of these things together, that's how you keep your healing. Because I've seen people who have kept their healing, and I've seen people who have lost their healing. And I don't want anyone here to lose what God has done or what He's about to do in the name of Jesus. One of the great ways to keep your healing is when you testify, then pray for someone else's healing. Pray for them. When you give your testimony, say to them, would you like me to pray for you the way I was prayed for? And most people who have a need will say, well, sure, I'd like to be prayed for. Yeah. Something about people, they don't turn down prayer. They may or may not know the Lord, but they're touched in their heart because they hear what you said. And they'll take your prayers. Praise God. Who has a need of healing tonight? Some need in your life. If that's you, stand up tonight. Let me pray over you, no matter what it is. If it's in your feet, if it's in your knees, if it's in your ankles, if it's in your hands, carpal tunnel syndrome, if it's in your back, if it's in your belly, if it's in your heart or your blood pressure or your blood sugar, if it's in your loss of hearing or in your eyes, is it a cataract or a glaucoma, a migraine, is it a tumor or a mass or a growth or something else that's gone haywire? And you're hearing this tonight and you're wanting the prayer of faith. Well, James 5 tells us that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I have faith for you tonight. And I believe that when I pray, it will be a prayer of faith. And I believe the prayer of faith will save the sick and that the Lord will raise you up. Now, someone who is sitting, reach out and touch those who are standing. And let's just begin praying in tongues. Kista braka soya sandiasta. Masiandana kasia stobroko soya sandakasta. Kela masandiata nakasam brakasa. Lindsay, honey, get a microphone. Kista braka soya sandiasta nakasambra. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer tonight. Lord, I come against every sickness. I come against every disease. I come against any satanic attack that has come against you. That which has come against internal organs. That which has come against bones and muscles. That which has come against cells and tissue in the authority of the name of Jesus. I command the devil to take his hands off of you. You foul, tormenting devil, you take your hands off of God's property. I speak to eyes tonight. Cataracts, glaucoma, blurred vision, come out. I take hold of them by faith and command them to come out. In the name of Jesus. There's an angel that stands behind me when I pray for the sick. And when I say I take hold of it by faith and pull it out, I then am told by the Lord to hand that to the angel standing behind me, because he knows what to do with sickness and disease. So I take authority over that, over the problem with your eyes. Come out in Jesus' name. Now, loss of hearing in the name of Jesus, eustachian tube, eardrum, balance problem, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. You foul, tormenting, loss of hearing, equilibrium problem, balance problem, eardrum, eustachian tube, open up. Let hearing flow. Let hearing flow. Let hearing flow. I pull that out of you in the name of Jesus. And there's healing beginning right now. Healing, 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 healing. Every cell, every organ in your body, function normally. In the name of, yes, I'll do that. Function in the name of Jesus. Blood, I speak to you. Yes, coagulate properly. I rebuke the hemophilia. I rebuke that and pull it out of you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that the blood now flows unrestricted through every vein, through every artery, and through every orifice in your body that blood is supposed to flow through. I come against any blood disease, you foul, tormenting cancer. In Jesus' name, I arrest you. I take hold of you by faith and pull you out. In the name of Jesus, every tumor, every mass, every growth, dissolve and disintegrate. Beginning tonight, now in this service, in the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I rebuke cancer in the breast. I rebuke cancer in the bone. I rebuke cancer in the brain. I rebuke cancer in the skin. Come out in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Now just keep focusing in. Just keep focusing in. Just keep focusing in. Just keep focusing in. Healing in the neck. You who are in, who have the difficulty, the grating in the neck. When you turn your neck from left to right, there's a grating and it hurts. And all of a sudden it just almost like snaps and it, you wince with the pain. I bind that. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. And the disc and the vertebra. Did you notice how many were healed in their backs the other night? Every back pain, I take hold of you by faith and pull you out in the name of Jesus. The upper part of your back, the center part of your back, the lower part of your back, all the way down to the tailbone. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Now there comes healing in backs right now. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit you're feeling. That's the power of God coming into backs right now for healing, healing, healing. Every disc, every vertebra, line up with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, there's a big toe being healed right now. There's a big toe being healed. There's a big toe, a toe being healed right now. You're going to be able to jump up and down on it and find there's no more pain in that toe. Kia sombro kosoyat sambra kasa. Shoulders, which is so much pain. Doctors tell me that the most painful injury they see in emergency rooms is when people have injured their shoulders. They see 300-pound linebackers come in crying like babies because of pain in the shoulders. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the pain that gives you inability to lift your shoulder without pain. A lot of people healed of shoulders the other night. In the name of Jesus, every shoulder right now, be healed. Be healed. All that pain, I take hold of it and I just pull it out. I pull it out of your shoulder. I pull it out. Here it comes. It's coming out now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to be able to move it freely now. Pain's going now. Pain's going now. Hands and swelling and stiffness and crooked fingers. I see crooked fingers being healed. It reminds me, I said that one night, and Lindsay reminded me of the scripture that he makes the crooked places straight. And I'd never thought of that in terms of crooked fingers. But she gave me that scripture. I see crooked fingers, fingers that are gnarled and crooked because of arthritis. I see them straightening out before your eyes in the name of Jesus. Every crooked finger, straighten out. Straighten out. Pain in the hand from the carpal tunnel syndrome and from the inability to open and close your hand without pain. I rebuke that now. Open up. Open up. Again, I say, open up in the name of Jesus. Take hold of that pain and there it goes. Pull it out of your hands right now. Someone's going to be able to have freedom of movement of your hands right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The elbow where you fell. The elbow where you fell and you felt like you cracked your elbow. Someone's being healed right now in your elbow. And you're going to be able to move your arm like this in a normal way in Jesus' name. And there'll be no crookedness in it. It will bend properly in the name of Jesus. Shoulder and elbow and fingers and hands and backs and hips and hips. There was a woman last night testified of healing of her pelvis when I prayed for her on Sunday night. In the name of Jesus, every pelvis straighten up and level out. That which is lower on the left, come up. That which is lower on the right, come up. Pelvis, level out. Hips, be healed. Pain, yes, I'll do that, Lord. Pain that shoots down the back of the hip, down the back of the leg, what the doctors would call sciatica. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. When you stand, when you sit, that pain shoots down the back of your leg. That's leaving now. Go in the name of Jesus. Take hold of it and pull it out. Pull it out. I pull that out of you in the name of Jesus. Now knees. Several people last night talked about swelling. One woman said that she could, through the swelling, she could not feel the bone again because the swelling was so heavy you couldn't even feel the bone. Hell, in the name of Jesus, every knee, every kneecap, the MCL, the ACL, every muscle around and tendon around the knee, be healed. All the swelling just go down now. And varicose veins in the name of Jesus. Just go flat. Take hold of that and pull it out. And ankles and feet and the calf muscle and the thigh muscle in the name of Jesus. The deterioration. I see a muscle that has deteriorated. It's begun to atrophy and you're being healed right now. There's strength coming into that muscle right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's another finger right now. It's just straightening out. It's popping out. Lindsay, do you have a word?
Yes. My father was a car dealer, and he had in his car dealership something called a parts department. And when your car didn't work right and it needed new parts, all you had to do is walk from the showroom floor down a couple of hallways, and you were in the parts department, and there was always a part for the parts department to fix whatever was broken. If a car has parts, don't you think God has parts for your parts to be healed, to be healed, to be restored? And I see somebody that's got spots on their liver, spots, and other people where you think, if this doesn't change, the organ is going to have to come out. If this doesn't change, it's deteriorating at a rapid rate of speed. And I say in the name of Jesus, God, fix it and make it new as if it had never been broken. I see angels just bringing in parts from heaven and saying, all right, we'll deposit some here and we'll deposit some there, but it all depends on you believing God to repair and restore that which is broken. And God has told me over and over to pray for letters, ADD, ADHD, MS, ALS,
COPD,
COPD, anything that has letters attached to it. In the name of Jesus, we say G-O-D. God's been giving Jesus a name that's above every name, named in heaven and earth. And at that name, I expect a miracle for those parts to change. And I want to say to you in your church, don't back down, don't be timid. But when you see something God's showing in your face, it's almost like he's putting like a ray of light, and it's like you're drifting off into la la land because you're seeing stuff. God wants to use you for creative miracles. And if you start doing it, people who would no more believe that than the man in the moon will trust you. They'll trust you, and they'll say, but if Pastor says it, I can believe for it. So begin to speak the impossible. Begin to speak the almost outrageous. Begin to speak the miraculous. Begin to speak something like creative miracles. Begin to expect like fingers and toes to grow where something wasn't there. And God's going to honor your faithfulness. And he's going to use you in what you're thinking is, this is just wild. Yes, it is. And he's going to use you in a wild way because you'll have faith for it. But that's great for you. But your faith will spark something in the faith of other people. And you will become contagious. You will become contagious. It's like some people, you know how a germ is contagious? Well, God wants to use you with your faith to become contagious. And you'll walk in a room and they'll say, what's that guy got? And some people may have the flu, but you've got the faith. And so that faith is going to be contagious. And as you walk in a room, just like when Peter's shadow would pass, all of a sudden people are getting healed and you go, all I did was walk in. Yep. That's it, because you're contagious with the healing virtue of God. And I am praying right now. I saw organs that are like shriveling, like as if to say atrophy, like when your hand, you don't use it and it starts to atrophy and it starts to, you look at it and you think, well, it's not even as long as it is. Okay, for your feet to be the same length, for your legs to be the same length, for your arms to be the same length, for atrophy in whatever it is that is seeming, it feels like a shrinking violet. But you know what? Not only for your physical body to stop shriveling up, but for your spirit man and your soul. Somebody said something to you and you just keep shriveling up and you shrivel up and you shrink back and you shrink back no more. No more shrinking violet. Begin to blossom like a rose. Doesn't matter what somebody says. What did God say? No more shrinking in your organs. No more shrinking in atrophy like your arm. No more shrinking where one leg is shorter. Whoever has scoliosis in their back and one leg shorter than the other, in the name of Jesus, crooked places made straight. Crooked places make straight. God wants to balance the scales, balance where your legs and you've used this word. You have a hitch in your leg. You walk with a hitch in your leg. I don't know what that means, but it means one is more uneven than the other. And in the name of Jesus, I pray for balance, your legs to be the same length, your arms to be the same length, and for you to balance out in Jesus' name. No more shrinking back, no more shrinking and shriveling up in your arms, no more shriveling up in your liver, no more shriveling up in your heart, no more shriveling up at all, but for you to stand up and declare the works of the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And as you begin to say, I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord, it's going to happen as you say out of your mouth. I speak to lungs to open up right now in the name of Jesus. You know how we put up with what my mother-in-law Evelyn used to call, in fact your daddy called it, piddledy things. I don't know what a piddledy thing is, but I had to learn in Oklahoma that means little things that you don't pay attention to. You just deal with it because it's not a big thing. And I remember my mother-in-law, there was a lady that came in the healing line for a splinter. And Oral was going to pray for it. And Evelyn said, that's a piddledy thing. Why would she ask for prayer for that? And Oral said, give me your hand. Prayed for it. That splinter popped right up to the top and popped out. And Oral said, it wasn't piddledy thing to God. So whatever it is, whether it's a little bit of a breathing problem, not enough to totally irritate you, but a piddledy thing. In the name of Jesus, piddledy thing, you be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone. And this is the second time I got this, and I was going to ignore it. But I believe in cell phone service. And I want to make this a cell phone service. If you have a cell phone, and you want to record a prayer for somebody. They're either at the hospital, they couldn't get here, they couldn't get away from home, they couldn't do this, couldn't do that, or you're not even sure if they would receive a prayer. Get out your cell phone, and we're going to pray, and while you record it, you send it to somebody that you know needs the word, because why? God said he sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. And I'm not saying to do something weird. I'm saying the recorded word of God was written thousands of years ago. And every time we read what was recorded, we can still expect a miracle and get something from it. And I want you to record this so that even if it's just for you, go home and tell the devil, listen, you're talking to me. Let me read something to you, devil. Let me play something for you, devil. Let me put it in my ear, devil. Let me put this in your ear, devil. And if you have those little headpiece thingies, put one in your ear and hold the other one up and say, hey devil, listen to this today, because it's time to remind ourselves over and over and over and over. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing, 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 healing. Devil, take your hands off of God's property.
Yes.
We send the word, we send the word, we send the word. There's no distance in prayer. And Father, let the Ruach wind of God come through my mouth, through these cell phones, through the airwaves. And devil, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command healing, healing, healing to come forth in Jesus' name.
And the Bible says, if two shall agree on earth as concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Now that's Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19. So those of you who are recording, I go into agreement with that prayer. I set my faith with her in her faith, believing God for the miracle that you need from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet in Jesus' name. And everybody who is in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
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 Just stand up and begin to lift your hands and rejoice. Give him thanks for healing.
Cell phone's away.
Give him thanks for healing that is in process right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Let healing flow. Let healing flow. Reach out to the Master, Jesus. Let healing flow. Let healing flow. Reach out. Take the Master's hand in the name of Jesus. Now, just while you're standing, who can tell right now that a miracle has already begun in you? Just put your hand up. I want to see your hands up all over. Look at that. Look at the hands all over. Look at the hands. That's healing. That's healing. It's another migraine headache being healed right now. Going, the pain's leaving the head right now. In Jesus' mighty name. I am so glad I came to Cedar Rapids. I am so glad that Lindsay, who speaks 20,000 words a day with gusts up to 30,000. I think you said more in your prayer than I said the whole night.
I'm chatty.
Chatty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you love God?
Yes.
Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
Well, tell him you're grateful. Thank him. Praise him. Worship him. That's how you keep your healing. Close the case for victory. Thank him. Praise him. Father, thank you. Thank you for this miracle. Lord, I'm going to testify of this miracle. And I'm not going to hang out with people who don't agree. I may have to come in contact with them, but I don't have to hang with them. And Lord, I'm commanding symptoms are not going to appear again. I'm calling that which is not as though it is. Get your microphone.
Huh?
Nahum 1:9. This affliction shall not rise up a second time. Turn to your neighbor and say, this affliction shall not rise up a second time. Now go into agreement with that. Stop talking about the problem. Start talking about the answer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get your microphone, come up here. Yes, I'll do it. You do it first. I'll follow it up.
Fear, in the name of Jesus, I call you for what you are. You are a liar. And in Jesus' name, you liar, you deceiver, we command you to take your hands off of God's property. Yes. Yes. Fear, go. Fear, go. Fear, go. Fear, go. Fear, go. Fear, go. We blockade any fear that would come into this place, into these people. No more fear of finances. No more fear of sickness and disease. No more fear of failure. No more fear of what he said, she said, and somebody else said. But in the name of Jesus, fear, we call you null and void, and we curse you at the root and say you will have no part of God's people in Jesus' name. And yes, ha ha ha. God said so in Jesus' name.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but instead has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I take authority over every depression, over every discouragement, over every loneliness, over every bitterness and anger. I take authority over that. I bind that off of you. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart tonight over somebody, let it go. Let it go. Lindsay would tell you unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It'll do nothing to them, but it'll kill you. Let it go. They're just not worth it. Let them go. Give them to God. And say, hey God, I give them to you. Now they are your problem. Because if you could have handled the problem, you would have already handled it. But only God can handle them. So come on, take your hands right now. Say, I give them to God. I give this person to God. Give them to God. Talk about getting free. When you give them to God, that person's now God's problem, not your problem. You couldn't handle them anyway. You're not that smart to handle them, but God is. Come on, just give them to God. Give them to God. Give them to God. I give them to God. I'll tell you, that'll set you free. You just let them go. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 You got anything else? No? You sure?
Okay.
I'll get you a mic. I only call on you when I know God has something.
So I have this friend that called me, and she's always really super positive and really super prayerful and really super everything, and it's almost super annoying. But she's always like super, 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 super positive. And she called me one day, and she said, I'm sick. I can't get past this. I'm always going to be sick. And then she started calling it her sickness and taking it. And I said, oh, bless your heart. I know what to tell you. And she said, what? I said, you're a thief and a liar. She said, what? I said, Satan's supposed to be the thief and the liar. But the minute you take ownership of something that's not yours, because Jesus already paid the price, you're a thief. You're taking something that isn't yours.
Doesn't belong
Jesus
to you.
Took it. He bore it.
He took
and he
it.
Got rid of it. So you're stealing something back in the form of sickness and disease that's not yours. So you're a thief. And then when you say something against the word of God, you're a liar. So I said, you can either be a thief or a liar or start declaring I'm the healed of the Lord. She began to declare I'm the healed of the Lord.
Go, go.
Don't be a thief and don't be a liar. When Satan comes at you, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. That's not my problem.
I'm expecting a miracle.
I'm expecting a miracle. And it is not yours. Jesus bore your sin, sorrow, sickness, disease. Don't take it back. Don't be a thief. And don't start calling it yours because you're a liar. It's not yours. Satan can take it and have all of it he wants. It is not my cancer. I will never say that. It's my healing. You are not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed of the Lord. Satan's trying to steal your healing. For God's sake, your sake, and everybody around you's sake, don't go into agreement with the devil. Go into agreement with the Word of God. I am not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed of the Lord, and Satan cannot take my property in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 Hi there. He's so weird, but he's cute.
You picked me, and you fell in love with me the minute you saw me, and you know I'm telling the truth.
I tell people I chased him till I caught him. That's not true, but it always makes him feel better about it.
Now, you know, there are only two ways in life to handle a woman. And neither one of them work.
Somebody on television asked Oral Roberts, was he the head of his household? And he said, yes, I am. And Evelyn is the neck that turns my head every day. Should we be saying goodnight?
I'm not finished yet.
Okay. Fine.
But I'm about to be. Praise God.
He's cute.
I'm glad I came to church tonight. I'm glad I came to church tonight. I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of her mouth tomorrow morning. And tomorrow night, Katie bar the door. Oh my goodness. What God is going to do in this place. I apologize in advance for tomorrow night. Don't blame me. What God is going to do in this place tomorrow night. Praise God. Pastor, would you come? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah.